Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 6. She is a shell inside which a great journey unfolds, and she dare not open up even the smallest crack for fear of letting out torrential storms and drowning tides. Carolyn Hillier. Layla didn't make it into Matty's house. When she arrived, the crow was already sat on the fence post, scratching at the wood with hooked steel claws and watching guardedly. Layla pondered for a moment that it might not be anything to do with her mother, or the stranger, or the odd things that were happening. But when she tried to pass it to ring the doorbell, it unfurled, beating its black wings in front of her until she retreated. She halted at the gate. It returned to its steady position, a look of unequivocal urgency on its features. Now, it seemed to say. Go now. Shuffling came from inside the house, and then, from behind the door, the sound of a chain being withdrawn. The crow cocked its head at Layla, waiting for her response, her decision. She heard the lock cycle through the chambers and knew that any second the door would open and Matty Emerson would usher her inside, into safety and away from the visceral danger she was otherwise surely headed into. She turned and ran. Wing to wing, Layla and the crow fled to the wilds, her hair streaming from her braid and catching the scent of summer in its tangle, the crow's black cloak sucking in daylight as it flew. As she ran, she left behind the thoughts of her father and the desire to reassure him. She abandoned them as she abandoned the notion that she could hide from what was happening. She let the moment grab her and truth lead her, and then they were into the dark of the woods and their cool shelter. Tall pines bore their scent on a gentle breeze, but after only a few minutes walking, their numbers dwindled and thinned, and Layla found herself in a clearing, sunlight drifting down onto grass. Ahead, the crows scratched at the ground where the green grew patchy. Now, here. And suddenly, something in Layla understood how to get to the ancient hearth. It made its home in her stomach and spread its intuition through her bones. She let that something guide her hands as she gathered dry, brittle branches from amongst the undergrowth and stacked them above kindling of bracken and snapped twigs. She'd known all along, a knowledge that fear had covered, but now, with so many dead, her fear sank and determination rose. She glanced around and pulled the lighter from her pocket. "Don't be afraid to burn. You are brave." Her hand didn't tremble. She lit the pyre. The wind came and fanned the fire, letting it leap and dance. Smoke mingled with pine. Layla watched as the flame steadied. She inhaled the fresh scent of the woods and closed her eyes, then stepped forward into the fire. Instinct brought her arms up to cover her face and she felt the heat sear her legs, scorch through her shoes. She smelt her hair burning, felt the flash of heat against her cheek and in her nostrils, and fought to keep from running, from leaving the pain and the smoke. She held still until she could no longer stand. When she came to, she was in a different world. Layla checked her arms for burns and found none, and her face, when she ran her fingers over it, felt smooth. No damage. She felt a small rush of excitement that it had worked. That she was there. But where was that? The landscape was steeped in the deep violet hues that come with the twilight hours, the shadows deeper, more pronounced. They seeped into the trees and left dark pools around their base. Tall pines asserted their silhouettes against the sky, their elegant shapes reaching for the night. But it wasn't the forest of the village, Layla was certain. This place felt different, eldritch. She got to her feet and walked further into the darkness, beginning to trust her instinct over what was laid bare in front of her. After a few paces, she was rewarded. Amongst the pines, a light escaped, flickering its tongue over rough bark and needled fronds. It pulled her toward it, its promise of secrets revealed, luring her in. Underfoot, discarded limbs and fingers of the trees relented and snapped as she pursued the light. As she neared, the scent of pine gave way to that of bitter herbs, the same peculiar aroma that Layla had smelt at the stranger's fire. She struggled to keep her pace steady, wanting as she did to run toward what she knew would give her answers, and then, as if fashioned from nothing more than air and shadow, an entranceway solidified ahead of her. Two vertical slabs of granite reared up from the ground, meeting the thickly woven thatch of a conical roof, underneath which firelight flicked its tongue, beckoning for Layla to step through and greet it. Inside, the glow scarcely penetrated the recesses of the timber. Spirals of smoke stung her eyes as they wound their way up to the pinnacle, smudging into the shadows. Around the fire were laid skins of deer and bear and wolf and sheep. Layla lowered herself onto a pelt and waited, settling herself into the impossibility of the situation. Opposite her, the dimness of the woods outside stole across the threshold and joined the shifting dark inside. Layla brought her gaze to rest steadily on the white embers, watching them peel and flurry and blaze until, in the gravid quiet, instinct told her she was not alone. Almost as soon as that thought was fully formed, figures emerged, bleeding from the shadows, and took their place on the skins around the fire. Their forms were unstable, insubstantial, impressions of grey in a flickering shadow world. Elders. One stepped into the centre. Layla could see her clear-cut and sharp, though the others were still blurs. Her weathered face held carved lines of hard toil and stories of mountain and tundra. In her hand rested a drum. She raised it high over the fire, allowing the rising smoke to dance across its veined surface, skin stretched taut in her hands of leather and bone. The susurrations of the shadows ceased, and a heavy, heady silence filled the space. The old woman stamped one bare foot in the dirt and flung her head backwards, releasing a primal bellow into the air. Her wild hair whipped its strands through the smoke as she began to work the drum with her hand, spinning it around her as she stamped and sang and struck with rhythmic certainty. Others around her joined their voices to hers, and the air became thick with ancestral power. Layla gave herself to the hearth. The drum beat into her bones, the old woman's hands like horses' hooves beating the land, singing the earth. Layla knew its beat, and she knew its language. She let a warrior's yelp cut the night and felt the power of her ancestral blood pounding through her veins. It felt like home and sorrow and strength. It held the heathered dawn and sea-struck crags and black, moonless nights filled with winter's wind. Frost and fire and stag and stone beat through her. Thunder drum broke her down into shadow and flame, and there she was, whirling around the crackling fire with sister and shaman, elders, a tribe thought long dead by the world but known by the land to course through its very heart. Quick tongues blessed the fire and all that danced around it. They spat into its core and let the fire spit its blessings back onto their skin. The ground shook under their stamping feet and trembled its throaty thanks through their flanks. The eaves of the stone roundhouse were filled with smoke and song, and prayers sung and spun around the ancient hearth. Layla felt it consume her, every part of her incandescent with the rhythm. Then the dance began to slow, the pace dwindling as the flames lowered into the stone-bound hearth. The shadows seemed to return to the recesses and shelter of the corners, and Layla was left alone with the steady beat of the drum. Their footsteps slowed as they brought the song to its end. The beat not ceased, only quieted into the pulse of heart and blood hidden within their skins. Ask the fire, ask the fire, ask the fire. The old woman took her place on the reindeer hide opposite Layla, dropping her drum to the ground and her eyes to the fire. Layla lowered herself onto soft fur, the world inside stone now silent but for hearth and breath, and just as she had suddenly known how to get to the ancient hearth, she found she now knew what she must do. She drew the drawstring pouch from her pocket and waited until the flames sank into the embers and the fire was quiet, fierce. She offered the ash to the fire, watching how the heat danced under the scabs. Words came, but she spoke to a place in the hearth that needed no crude tongue language. Still, she asked, What must I know? What does my mum want me to learn? She glanced at the old woman's face, but it remained expressionless, so she brought her gaze back to the embers, and gradually patches and patterns became distinct and began to move about in fiery walls like silhouettes against a red moon. Faces rose and fell until one loomed up at her, eye sockets ablaze but the bones defined. And then her mother's face was there, smooth and pale with wrinkles around the eyes that Layla always thought from photographs would be laughter lines. Layla's Aunt Lorna, now only the stuff of memories and seldom sent birthday cards, sat in the armchair of Layla's living room. She spoke to Layla's mother. The sounds from the fire image trembled as though from underwater. She'll need to know, Vi. She won't. Not if I succeed. There'll be nothing to protect the village from. I'm not having my daughter raised by some melancholic. Lorna's shoulders rounded with defeat. Violet left the fire and sat beside her sister. That's not who he is. It's not who I want him to be for our daughter. She stroked her hair. Please, Lorna, you have to do this for me. If I die, Elliot mustn't remember the truth. It'd eat him up. And I want Layla to be free from all this, have a fresh start. But it's our duty. Oh, damn our duty. This thing is taking lives, Law. Elliot doesn't understand, but you must. More people will die if I don't kill it now. And if I succeed, Layla never need know that she's one poor wretch in a long line meant to keep it at bay, because there will be no evil in this territory to protect anyone from. Don't you see? I want what's best for her. Lorna shifted slightly in her chair. She's not just that, though, is she? He can't know, Law. Promise me that. Make it like I never existed. But please, she deserves to grow up happy. Lorna studied her hands in the firelight. He won't forget you, Vi. Not completely. His love's too strong. She sighed, resigned. I'll make you normal in his memory, if that's what you want. No magic, but... Violet nodded. She hugged her sister. Thank you, she whispered. As Layla watched, the scene in the living room blurred and then reset. This time, Layla's mother was alone. She gazed into the fire, her eyes burning up at Layla across time and death. Layla, I don't want you to be frightened. I hope you don't end up seeing this. This isn't a life I would want for you. I want you to be free. This lineage of death and duty ends with me. I'm creating something new for you, a life without the limit of obligation. The fire crackled and spat a flash of hot ember onto the hearthstone, making Layla flinch away. When Layla looked again, the image of her mother had gone. The embers burned themselves into nothingness under her gaze and then flared back to steady flames. Where's she gone? Is that it? Tell me! Across the hearth from her, the old woman remained still and silent. Wind lifted ash and scattered it over the granite stones. From the woods outside, it brought the clear scent of pine and earth on rain-strewn dusk. The dim intimacy of the fire and her mother's memories were gone. Whatever message she had meant to get was over. Layla sat there, absorbing the fire stories and her mother's words. She felt hollow, as though learning a fraction of the truth of it all had exposed the vastness of what she did not yet understand. So, her father didn't know. He really believed her mother had died in childbirth rather than, well, Layla didn't know the details, but she knew it was the witch. Her mother had died trying to kill the witch, trying to protect Layla and the village and everyone beyond the confines of their land, because that had been her job. And now it was Layla's duty. She sat a while longer trying to piece together the information, but the smoke was beginning to make her feel sick and her head cloud over, and so she bowed to the hearth tender and made her way out of the roundhouse. Dew soaked her feet and brushed wet kisses against her ankles. By now the land had turned away from the sun and watched the rise of the moon, her crescent beam picking fronds and needles from the forest and adorning them against the world of greys and blacks with a silvered touch. Layla kept walking until something shifted, whether in her head or in the world, she didn't know. but before she had time to place it, she was walking back through the trees near the village. Shouts punctuated the stillness of the woods. A blanket was thrown around her shoulders and a voice, distant yet loud all at once, called out, "She's over here!" Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at twisted_roots_agparker or a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.